Today is a new day. I want to talk to you. Last week we talked about the healer. This week we're going to talk about the provider. And they're both the same. Imagine that. God doesn't want us dependent on people. He wants us dependent upon him. I mean, sometimes we put our dependency upon everyone else, and every once in a while they might let us down, but that's because they're not fulfilling what God wants them to be. He wants us dependent upon him because he can bless us through those. You know, his word says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into your bosom." So God will use those men and other people to pour into you, but he wants you solely dependent upon him. He's our source of life. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open up to Genesis 22. If we're going to start from verse 1, it says, sometime later, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. "Yes," he replied, "here I am." There are going to be times in your life where God is going to test your faith. If you haven't been tested already, just wait. It'll happen. Oftentimes, people go through trials, we go through certain situations, and we seem to be put on the edge when it comes to these things. But understand, you don't have to live your life like on a wing and a prayer. You can live your life by faith. After God's promise that a son, after God's promise that a son would come from Abraham's seed in a once barren womb in Sarah, God puts Abraham to the test. See, if you remember Sarah told Abraham, go ahead and get with Hagar. See, they wanted to force that issue. And sometimes we can get impatient with that. Sometimes when the Lord tells us to do something, we can get impatient. And the thing is that they did all that, and then Hagar was all, you know, she was pregnant, and then she began to disrespect Sarah, treated her with contempt. And now Sarah was upset with Abraham. She told him to do it. Women, don't do that to your husbands if you told them to do that. Not in that arena. Nobody would tell somebody to do that. If you told your husband to do something, they did it, and then you blame them for doing it. Hey, but here's the thing. Right seed, wrong destination. Hagar wasn't supposed to carry Abraham's son. See, sometimes we get a little impatient. They speed it up. We'll take shortcuts. We'll compromise in this area. Overlook that area there. He gave them the right word, but they misused it. They took matters into their own hands because of impatience. The Lord may have told them to say what he wanted them to say, but then they turned around and convinced someone else to say it for them, or so it doesn't make them look bad. I've done that before. They didn't want to ruin their image or reputation, but they didn't fully understand that God was wanting them to use their faith in that moment because it would have set off a chain of events, and it would have blessed them in an entirely different way. See, when I was younger, I mean, being introverted, I had a hard time asking my dad for stuff. So he would be laying in bed and just kind of hanging out because my mom would be working, and he'd be hanging out, and he can see that the hall light would be on, so he can see my shadow going into the room. But I would be standing there for like 10 minutes just trying to work up the nerve and the courage just to ask him something. So I have to go and ask my brother Swanson. He would go and ask him. He'd just go ahead and do it. That's like, you ask him for me. So it didn't matter whatever I needed or what have you. I knew my parents would probably give it to me if it was something if it was money or what have you, to go buy something. I knew not to ask for money because I would never get it in the form of money. I would get it in the form of work. I knew I would be waking up on a Saturday morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and going to work with my pops. So I knew not to ask for money. But he would just go right in, and it just amazed me, just go right in and then ask. I have to tag along with him or what have you. But the Bible says you have not because you... So I couldn't hate. I didn't ask or hope for a whole lot growing up. And the thing about it is that the worst they can say is no. And no is not going to kill us if God tells us no. Children, if your parents tell you no, it's not the end of the world. You'll survive. But here, God is about to test Abraham to the point that no man up until that point has ever been tested. In verse 2, says this, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. Some people believe that Isaac was like in his mid-20s, mid, late 20s. Can you imagine me telling that thing? He'd be like, yeah, that ain't happening. Abraham didn't just sit there and try to talk himself out of sacrificing his own son. Lord, you know, I got some servants who have a son. We can sacrifice them. I have another son, Ishmael, where we did some things. We did the wrong thing. I can sacrifice him. You want me to sacrifice my only son where the seed, that the promise was made through? That's tough to do. Now ask yourself this question. In just this year alone, what has the Lord told you to do that you may have struggled with doing? I'll give you a few seconds. What are you struggling with doing? Now, can you imagine Abraham's faith? He couldn't go off of much. We have so much more to go off of. But see, here's the thing. Isaac was already a walking miracle. Because Sarah's womb was already barren. And God worked a miracle through that. So Abraham's faith was rooted so much in God because the promise that God made to Abraham was through his seed. So verse 3 says, the next morning, Abraham got up, he saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. Without a hesitation or delay, Abraham got up. A simple act of obedience. Get up. Get up. Get up and start your day off right. Get up and start activating those legs and hips and backs and get them into motion. Get up and make your husband some breakfast. Get up and make your wife some dinner. Get up and start dancing for the Lord. Get up and sing a song to him. Get up out of that funk. Get up. Just an act of obedience. Life is just too short to be sitting around, because anything that sits will eventually go bad. Get up. So on the third day, verse 4, of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and we will come right back. We will worship there, and we will come right back. Abraham is saying, even if I have to sacrifice my son, as the Lord has instructed me to, we're coming back. We're coming back. We will be right back. We're going to worship and we're coming back. As Jesus said, come, let's cross to the other side. But then a storm comes up and the water begins to fill the boat and they begin to get anxious. They begin to fear. And Jesus has to rebuke the wind and said to the waves, be still, peace, be still. Now, let's get to the other side. Jairus' daughter is dead, dying. And he says to Jesus, come to my house where you lay hands on her so that you may heal her. Then as they're on their way, after the woman with the issue of blood, messengers came and said, hey, don't bother the teacher. Your daughter's dead. Jesus says, have faith. In other words, hold on to what you told me before, that I may lay hands on her and that she will be healed. Go back to that. Stick with that. Hold on to it. We will worship and we will come right back. When I say we, not I, we're going to come back together. Abraham already seen God's power operate through him and Sarah. And these two were still active in their old age. Can you imagine that? Some of you are like, yo, get away from me. That ain't happening, Cap. I wanted about maybe 6, 7 kids or what have you. 2013, Kristen ended up getting a hysterectomy and stuff. And so that went out the window. No. But the thing is that Sarah was barren. So sometimes I'll get over there and the very thing that she loves for me to do is just touch her stomach. No, she don't like that. And then I'll begin praying, Lord, open up this womb, bring these organs back. I think Roman needs an uncle to go to school with. Two or three ain't gonna be bad. She's like, get up and get out of this room. Verse 6, it says, stay here. Oh, so Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them walked on together. Verse 7, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied, we have the fire and the wood. The boy said, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering? Next one. God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. He said, God will provide for us. That's bold. I can't imagine anything more nerve-wracking than that. God will provide. Inwardly, I can just see, Lord, please provide that sheep. I'm going to be faithful to the end, but I need your help. But you know what? We are coming right back. Not only did Abraham have to have faith in providing for them, but he also brought Isaac along the journey and showed him how to trust in God. Where are we going to get the sheep? The Lord will provide. All right, the Lord will provide. I'm rolling with you. I'm in agreement with that. The Lord will provide. See, the thing is, you're teaching even when you don't know you're teaching. Your children are watching your faith even when you don't know they're watching. How you handle certain situations. If you're cool, calm, collected, if you got your world falling apart, that's a testament to your faith in God. Verse 9, it says, when they arrived at the place where God told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Verse 10, and Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. And at the moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on that boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me, even your son, your only son. And then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. As Abraham obeyed God, Isaac, obeyed Abraham. He didn't even put up a fight. Mid to late 20s, didn't even put up a fight. Dad puts him down on the altar, binds him up, puts the wood down, and he's getting ready to kill his only son. Isaac's probably thinking, did God just turn me into a sheep? No. Fathers following God will help their children follow God. Jesus cooperated with the Father when he had to die for all of mankind. He became obedient to death. In verse 14, it says, Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. The Lord, it will be provided. Verse 15, it says, then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. It says the Lord will provide time and time again. God will provide in your life. He's proven himself throughout the ages. You have it from cover to cover. His provision, him providing in everyone's life, we have it from cover to cover because that is his covenant that he made with Abraham. And after Abraham was obedient to God, God doubles down on his covenant with an oath. He says, I will certainly bless you. Not only that, I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Not only that, your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemy. Not only that, your descendants, through your descendants, all the nations will be blessed, all because you obeyed me. Obedience is greater than what? Come on. The blessings through Abraham, through obedience to God, will always be greater than the rations that may come from your disobedience. You think you're doing something with that little raise that you got? And, ooh, I got a $10 raise each week. Yeah, but you had to lie to people in order to get it. If you would have been obedient, if you would have been obedient to God and just waited in his timing, you could have had that raise. But not only that, you could have had that company car. Not only that, you could have had that corner office. Not only that, you could have been ahead of a whole department. Not only that, you could have had the best top life insurance ever. Not only that, you could have had stock options. Not only that, you could have been sent to conferences to be the guest speakers in every which way. Not only that, but you, hooray for your $10 a week that you had to rush in to get. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Saul, your family would have been blessed, Saul. If you would have just obeyed me, Saul, Jesus would have came through the line of your family. But Saul had to speed things up. He had to do things in his own way. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Abraham would have been fine with just coming down with his son Isaac like he said he would, but God reaffirmed his promise to Abraham. And Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He's the healer. He is the provider. Now, what's impossible for God? What can God not do? There's only one. Lie, right? Obedience. What are we being obedient to? Are we truly being obedient to God? And sometimes being obedient is actually saying the things that he wants you to say to certain people because you're having to be obedient. Sometimes obedience could be, you know what, I'm going to just be faithful just to come into church and to give and honor him. I'm going to be obedient to that. That could be the smallest gesture, but he's opening up things behind the scenes that you have no clue. Obedience. Obedience leads to greater things, better things that God has for you. It draws you closer to him because you're being obedient. Yeah, I mean, you can boldly come to the throne of grace whether you're obedient, and honestly, when you've been disobedient, you can still boldly come because of his grace. This week, Lord, what have I been disobedient to? What have you told me to do that I haven't been doing? Just ask yourself. Obedient. Start that up. Get up and start that business. Obedience. Get up and begin working out. Obedience. Take your husband or wife on a walk. Obedience. It could be the most simplest thing, but you don't realize how soothing and how satisfying it is just being obedient. I had the privilege of talking to a young man. He called me up yesterday when I was on my way to Pratt to go watch the men's basketball team there. And he called me up, and he was a young man just starting out. His ministry, he had been going around speaking and just sharing some things with him and stuff. And he hit me up, and I was talking on the phone with him. And I mentioned that ministry for me has been easy. And I mentioned that to somebody else. And yeah, how is ministry easy? Well, I think 50% of what I dealt with, I mean, if you're dealing with, because everybody wants to grow. And he's starting out, got a small church. Everybody wants to grow. They want to grow their numbers in every which way. I said, but I told them it's better to grow them spiritually than they are first, rather than just the numbers. And if you're focused on the numbers, it's going to get you down every time. But one of the things that I said is something that I started out saying right when I took over. It's like, we are going to bless people when they leave. We're not going to curse them. We're not going to talk bad about them. We're going to sow them. And we're believing God for 10 more new families. You realize that took off 50% of the burden on you? Because you're always thinking, man, this person needed to hear this word. That person needed to hear that message in every which way. And then we get all excited. Well, how come they weren't here? And then you're fighting. And it's like, Lord said, let it go. All right, cool. I sleep good at night. Now, if there's somebody going astray, we can help them. We go get them. Bring them back. But they don't stop being God's children when they leave. Sow them into. We're going to bless you. I didn't like Pastor Tim. I didn't like what he said. God bless you. I'm going to sow you into the next church. I'm not going to talk bad about you so you don't ever serve again. We're going to sow you in. Hopefully you get what you're looking for. And if you come back in, I'm going to get you. No, it's fine. Y'all knew what I meant on that one. No, we're not going to do that. But that takes off the pressure. And I shared a few more things. I forgot to share the not the competing and dominating stuff. So next time we talk, I will share about that. Because God wants you dominating, not competing. I'm a competitor. Listen, if I play ball, I will compete. I will talk. I talk trash better than I compete now. I can talk trash very good, very well. But my athleticism doesn't keep up with the mouth. But you dominate. If you're competing, you're the only one that want to be at the top. But when you're dominating, you bring everybody along the journey so that you can all succeed. He's the provider. Jesus, how are we going to feed all these people? Well, what do you have? I said, what are you going to do? Well, it's going to cost this much. It's going to cost all these wages. Bring me what you have. Young little boy comes, a couple of fish and several loaves of bread. And he blessed it, and he gave thanks, and it multiplied as they were giving it to him. The Lord. Time and time again, he provides. That's why the Bible talks about in Matthew 6, 25 to 26, not to worry. What are you anxious about? Do not be anxious. Well, religion talks about a lot of do's and do nots. Well, the scripture says, do not be anxious. If you don't like all the do nots, don't read Matthew chapter 6, because there's a lot of do nots in there that Jesus talks about. Birds doesn't ever have to worry about eating, because God feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than they are? The Lord provides. The Lord provides. Even if you have to eat ramen noodles all. Now, how many college students ate ramen noodles in college? People, I said, we all did. How many add eggs to it? I like to throw some hot sauce with mine. That's part of life. And guess what? They're here. I was living on $90 a month. And then I would spend that money on alcohol. The Lord provides. Thank God for Sandy's Mills. Beer and chimichangas. Chicken chimichangas is what I ate. Bologna sandwiches. He's the provider. Actually, kind of a good diet. I was skinny back then, so I'll trade the beer for water. He's the provider. People, we don't ever have to go into situations worried about, no matter how big it is. God already saw it from the beginning, and he's already made provision. You have not because you ask not. Sometimes we might get a little afraid or what have you, or timid when it comes to asking the Lord for something that he's already given you. I'm waiting. I'm waiting to give you those keys. All you have to do is ask. I'm waiting for you to give that. All you have to do is ask. Ask the Lord. What is it that I'm missing today? What is it that you've been trying to tell me that I haven't really, really grasped yet in my life? Ask him. With every head bowed, every eye closed, Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the provider. You are the healer. You are everything that we need, Lord. And I believe this week that they will be able to ask you with boldness and confidence, and that they would hear from you, Lord. Some will hear right when they leave the church, this building. We thank you. We thank you. Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.